Welcome back to another episode of Driving with Randy. How is everybody doing today? My name is Road Rage Randy, and this is the Driving with Randy podcast, a podcast I started 4 years ago for my 2007 Toyota Sienna Silver Edition. We are currently in a 2018 Subaru Forester Black Edition with a brand new headlight. Let's give a round of applause. I changed the light last night, and I knew it was out. I had a friend tell me up in Duluth, he said, you know your headlight's out? I said, it is? And then I remembered last night when I took my mom out for supper. I don't know where the fuck I'm going right now, but we're driving. I mean, I do know where I'm going, but I don't have the instructions up. So, first and foremost, let's go ahead and knock this one out of the way. Randy, where the fuck was your podcast last week? Well, if you guys have been kind of paying attention, I had a race, and that was Saturday. So that started my week off. Work was my race on Saturday, and I got really in my head, as per usual, the usual, you know. I get nervous about, like, almost nothing, and it comes race week, and I'm just a fucking wreck, dude. It's wild. Like, I recognize it. The last two races, I've been like, all right, week of the race, I'm going to think this, and this, and I still haven't learned to control that yet. So I was in my head for about a week, panicking about this race, the anticipation of having to run 30 miles on the Superior Hiking Trail. So what better way to get my mind off things than to not record a podcast? That was such a great idea by me. But here we are. We are recording today's episode, and you got one this week. So we're going to go ahead and start. I went up to Duluth on a Friday. Now, this is the race that I had my heart set out to do last year, and I ended up DNSing due to health problems. So it was kind of a, I'm going to get my revenge on this race kind of a deal. Let me pull up directions to this place so we don't get lost here. Although as much as I love freestyling and as much as I know I have to go north, I'd actually like to, like, it has me going on 35. That's just not right. We're gonna take the back roads. Fuck you. It's gonna take a little longer, but that's all right. Anyways, so Friday I go up to Duluth. Now I knew this ahead of time. One of my friends was actually going to be up in Duluth visiting somebody. So I was just in contact with him. I started the day off on Friday. I went and got one of my favorite breakfasts. A Denver omelet with breakfast potatoes and a pancake on the side. There is something about that combo that, if it's the right price, it just hits so damn good. So I started right there. My friend was like, yeah, I'll be up there around this time. So he was about 2 hours out from me. I'm like, all right. Okay, so it has me turning down this random fucking road. Why doesn't it have me going to downtown Afton? All right, we'll go on this random fucking road. I guess Google knows best. So we had a plan. We're going to meet up for lunch because his friend was going to be at work for a little bit. I said, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to go check out one of the peaks, check out the trail a little bit to, you know, that way when I get 10 miles in, I kind of have an understanding of where I'm at. I wanted that. So every race I have done so far, I have gotten a feel for the course, you know, a mile or two the day before. So I thought, let's do this one. And I head on up there, and my dad actually says, you have all day, why don't you go do Ely's Peak? I'm like, okay, that's the plan. We're going to do Ely's Peak. Now, I get out there, and I'm lost as fuck. And I'm like, God, this is just not helping my mental. Because the whole point is we stay on the Superior Hiking Trail for the entirety of the mileage. There is only one part where you're not on the Superior Hiking Trail, and it's very well notated for us. They have signs, flags, ribbons. I'm like, okay, this is confusing as fuck. Well, it turns out I wasn't actually on the Superior Hiking Trail at that point. I was on a spur trail, so it only makes sense that I had no fucking clue what I was doing. I was looking at signs, and I'm like, psh, I don't know where the fuck I'm going. Some lady's like, do you know how to get to Ely's Peak? I'm like, that's where I'm trying to get to, too. It says Superior Hiking Trail's this way, so I'm going to go this way. It was not that way. So I end up taking this back fucking route. And this is like the least traveled route I have ever seen in my life. It's rocky as fuck. And at this point, I'm like, all right, I've been walking for a mile and a half. I've been out here for almost 40 minutes, and this is going to be a long day tomorrow. 30 miles of this. Well, I end up intersecting the Superior Hiking Trail, and I found some ribbons. I'm like, oh, this is where I'm going to be tomorrow. All right, cool, cool, cool. So I start walking, and I'm like, all right, so this actually isn't too bad. So I get to the top. Absolutely stunning. If you have never been to Duluth, Minnesota, peak color. Now listen, the locals up there will say it's not peak colors. They were last year. Fuck you. It was peak colors, damn it. It was so beautiful up there. Absolutely gorgeous. Ely's Peak is kind of like this overlook. If I were to take a guess, I don't know for sure. I'd imagine where you're at about 900 feet. I want to say it was a 600 foot climb, or 450 foot climb perhaps. But it was absolutely gorgeous, and I started working my way down, and I'm like, okay, I see the blue blazers that they're talking about. I see the pink flags. This shouldn't be too bad. Yeah, it's a little bit of rugged terrain, but I'm pumped. So after that, I met up with my friend Devin. We ate at Grandma's. I got some spaghetti. If you're familiar with the Minnesota running scene, there is the Grandma's Marathon, which everyone and their mother thought I was doing. You know, I say, oh, I have a race up in Duluth, and they're like, oh, Grandma's? No, not Grandma's. Grandma's is on a flat road with a negative elevation gain. I am on the Superior Hiking Trail with 5.3K feet of elevation. It sounds intimidating as fuck. Anyways, so my hotel, fucking awesome. The Willard Munger Inn is just outside Duluth. If you are ever up there, the room was fucking awesome. Now, there was a bee in my room when I first got there. What the fuck? It's telling me to turn. I can't turn. Okay, I can turn. Never mind. I've actually biked this road. I know where I'm at. I was going to the bathroom, and I look over, and there's just a bee. Oh God. Oh, we were going under the speed limit. There was a sheriff. Holy. So there's a bee sitting on the window. I'm like, all right. So I have to close the window on it. And then I never saw it. Like, I don't know if it got out. I don't know if it crawled into a hole. I don't know what happened, but that bee didn't sting me. So we were very, very content with that. But the room was super, super nice. It's just a bed, has a little, you know, area, a little kitchen area. Yeah, it's expensive as fuck, but everywhere else was expensive as fuck too. It was, I think, $204 a night. It's just, that's the type of pricing that happens in the fall up there, because everyone wants to get up there. And when there's over 300, there's 339 people registered for my race, I believe. And then there was a 100K. So basically, we got food with Devin, and then I headed back to my hotel and kind of just settled in, you know, listened to music, kind of meditate on my thoughts a little bit. I go to the bathroom. There's a fucking wood tick lodged into my leg already. I'm like, God, I've been out there for like an hour and a half, and there's a wood tick lodged into my leg. Well, I can't get it out, so I'm like, all right, I'll go to the Quick Trip. I'll go get a tweezers. They didn't have a fucking tweezers. So I went to the parking lot. I checked my first aid kit in my car. No tweezers. I'm like, God, this is just wonderful. Well, so I grabbed this wood tick, and I just held it, like, I pinched my skin, and I just held the wood tick up. So this motherfucker had to just hold on and just bite to my leg as long as he could. And it eventually just let go. I'm like, God, you motherfucker, get out of here. And I threw him out the window. Those things are, I don't like those things. I ended up finding two more crawling on me later throughout the night. So that less traveled, oh, the speed limit's 30. I imagine these guys are going like 80, and I just missed my opportunity. I just imagine, like, three wood ticks later in the night, and I just whoosh, flicked them off. I had a lot more time to pull out in front of these people than I had suspected. All right, now we can go. So, race, I knew going into, I'm not going to be able to sleep very well. I did some massaging, I did some meditating, I went to bed and my heart rate was like 66. We were stressing the fuck out over the race. There's no reason to stress. Like, I'm there to have fun. I guess you put in, God, I put in a lot of time. Takes a lot of time and effort, and then you have the investment of paying for the race, paying for the hotel. You want everything to go great, so I guess it's reasonable to be a little nervous on the day. Anyways, so I go to bed, I tried to get some sleep around 9:30, which isn't very good. That's a little early for me. I end up, you know, taking a little hour nap or something, wake up, the heart rate's pounding. I'm like, God, this is fucking great. I end up at around midnight. I passed out for three and a half hours, and I ended up waking up just around four. And my alarm was set for 5:30. I set my alarm for 5:30. So I was up at four. I'm just like, fuck it, let's just get up and move in, get things rolling, and we'll be good. Now, little to my surprise, one of my local friends was actually staying in the hotel room right next to me. I'm like, oh, this is great. Now, my friend Greg that was staying next to me was running the 100K. So he was going to be gone all day. He was going to, you know, 6 a.m. Now, we were about 15 minutes out from town. This guy didn't leave his hotel room till actually 5:45. Like, that guy was planning on showing up, towing the line, and getting started, which I understand. He had a 17-hour day. Like, yeah, I understand. But he was just making me nervous. Like, I'm just like, God, if he's not out by 5:50, I should go knock on his door to say, yo, Greg, your race starts soon, bro. But he, you know, warmed up his car. I'm like, all right, we're good. Let's worry about myself now here for a little bit. So I had the bag packed the night before. We head out to the race line. We were already checked in the night before. Dropped my drop bag off, and we just waited. I watched the 100Kers take off. I'm like, yeah, go, woo! You know, the lone wolf out there at 6 a.m. on not even a mile in, and I'm like, yeah, good work. I'm a fucking idiot. That's what I am. But I'm sure someone appreciated that. They were off into the dark with their headlamps. And then I checked my phone one last time. I got one of my friends. I went out to eat with him and went for a little walk this week. He, I think we went for a walk. It's been a week. He texted me. He set a little alarm to wish me good luck. I really appreciate that. I had a load of good luck texts. I turned the phone off. 6:30-ish, and I prepared myself for 8 o'clock, or 7 o'clock. I had to get on the bus, so I get on the bus. They bus us in, and the whole way I'm just thinking, God, this bus ride's taking forever, and now I have to run back. This is fucking crazy. 30 miles is a long fucking way. Oh my goodness. And it's dark out, so you don't really get to see all the scenery. You get to see a little bit of it. We get to the starting line. I'm freezing my ass off. I had shorts on and long sleeve. I'm like, God, we got to get started. I'm fucking freezing. I'm sitting in a corner with three other ladies, and we're just like, God, this is the warmest part. They need this fireplace running. What are we doing right now? It's cold. And I don't know, just kind of met some people. I talked to a lot of people out there. So we get to the race start, 8 o'clock. They send us off. His name's Andy, I believe. Andy is the one that runs the race. Andy sent us off into the distance. Start things off nice and slow, super flat. You know, tree roots to worry about. You got a pack of, God, 300-some people running on a trail, a single-track trail. There's spots where you could get too wide. About mile, I'd say 3 or 4 is probably when we made kind of a split and, you know, got comfortably away from people, kind of, you know, with your pace group type thing. I was with two ladies for a good mile or two, and then they departed ways. They were friends. She said, we'll see you at the finish line type thing. And I stuck with one of the ladies and another guy, and we talked for, God, 3-4 miles. We were out there. It felt like we were out there for a good bit. I stopped to go to the bathroom, took a little piss in the woods, and I didn't end up catching them until the aid station. So there was an aid station at 10.4. About mile 6, my right calf was bothering the fuck out of me. Now, the trails were muddy and there was a lot of switchbacks. So I feel like what was happening was, in order to get up these switchbacks, I was having to take like 3 more steps than I'd normally have to take because I was sliding in the mud. So it was putting a lot of unnecessary strain on my calf. And I was actually really nervous at that point that I would have to run to the 15-mile aid station then walk it in. I decided at the aid station I need to do something. So I pounded some pickle juice. I pounded one of my electrolyte beverages. And then I had 2 more electrolyte beverages that I sipped on for the next 2 miles. So right after that aid station was the flattest part of, like, it's literally the Willard Monger Trail. So it's flat. And I just knew that I'm going to walk it. So I walked probably 0.25 miles after that aid station. You know, I was getting my bottle situated, so it wasn't like I was... the difference was I could sit at the aid station, get my bottles in order, and spend 5 minutes there, or I can keep moving forward and make slow 5-minute progress. And I opted to make the 5-minute progress. before I got to the base of Ely's Peak. Now, this race, I had three main points in mind. It was Ely's Peak, Burden's Peak, and Spirit Mountain. Those were my three main points of interest. So Ely's Peak, I had done the day before, so I knew what to expect. I knew that this was almost 2 miles of unrunnable shit, and I'm gonna have to be climbing on rocks. And so I settled in behind these two people. We had a nice little conversation as we climbed to the top. And I got to the top at mile 12. And I was in awe by the beauty once again. It's so beautiful up there. The red, the orange, the yellow. And right around the corner, none other than my friend Greg. I said, Greg, I gave him a little fist bump. I'm like, good luck out there, man. So they do an out and back. So he was at mile 24 at that point. And I was at, mile 24, and I was at mile 12, or 18. I can't fucking do the math. If I'm at 12, I have 18 left. That means he's 18 miles in. Yeah, he's at mile 18 there. Gave him a little fist bump, and I don't know. Whatever happened at that aid station, whatever I did, and just knowing, you know what, I think the electrolytes are the play. It just reshaped my entire race. From there on out, I felt strong. I felt good. Nothing hurt. I just pounded the electrolytes and I was moving from there on out. We got to the mile, I think it's 14.6. And there's a little section coming up. That was kind of, I think it was Burden's Peak. I left the aid station with one guy. He's from Lake Elmo, which is pretty close to me. And we talked for the 2 mile section up until the base of Spirit Mountain. So, he needed to refill his waters up. I'm like, all right, thanks for the section. We did it kind of slow, but it was kind of a distraction. So it was nice and cool. The next part is it's like 2 miles, 750 feet of gain. So you're actually just going straight uphill for the next 2 miles. And I felt so fucking strong at this point. I was passing, you know, there was people gassed out, walking, and I was just flying by them. I felt so good here. So I think the difference between, yeah, this climb is pretty intimidating versus where I trained at, Afton, the grading is a lot different. So you're on like 11, you know, anywhere from 11 to 20% grades. And this was just, it was just a steady incline. So it wasn't, it honestly didn't feel too bad at all. I was passing people, and at that point when I ditched that guy at mile 16, I was pretty much solo from there on out. I got to the mile 22 aid station, and then that is where there's another climb. So I called my friend Devin. I said, I'm at mile 22. I should be at the finish line. I don't know what time is it. He tells me the time, and I'm like, all right, so I should be there by this time. I think I said 2:30, probably closer to 3. I said, listen, I'm pushing for sub-7 right now. This is very, very possible. I'm just going to keep pushing. You're not going to hear from me again. Now, the main reason I took out my phone here was it was my brother's birthday. So I wanted to give him a phone call, you know, just because I'm out doing my big adventure. I was still thinking about the people in my life, and it was his birthday, so I wanted to wish him a happy birthday. And the motherfucker didn't answer the phone! He didn't answer the phone! Like, hello, I'm giving you a FaceTime in the middle of the race I've been training for months, and you don't even ask. He was hunting with my dad, so they were moving. They're like in the canoe actually moving at that point, he said. He texted me. He just said, thank you. He knew what I wanted. Now, I normally FaceTime my brother about 6 or 7 times on his birthday. He just didn't seem to want to get bothered, so I just ignored. I just let him be. You know, enjoy your day hunting ducks with dad. That's all right. From there on out, God, I think I spent an absurd amount of time at mile 22 aid station for no fucking reason either. Like, I was filling my bottles up. I don't know. I was kind of chilling, but I felt strong. So I would, from that point on, from 22 to 30, I probably passed 20 to 30 people that were walking. Like, my training was fantastic. I was running the hills at that point. Now, mind you, it was raining at this point, so everything's muddy. We're slipping. You have to be slow. There's these boardwalks. Man, these boardwalks, you get on them, and they're just like ice. You go shooting across them. I slid across one on 1 foot, like the entirety of it. I'm like, well, that was fun. Let's make sure that don't happen again. So, like, I passed this one girl at one point. I'm just, like, shuffling my feet across. I said, I am so sorry. I already slipped on one of these. I am just not letting that happen again. She's like, no, you're good. And then I took off, and I never saw her till the next boardwalk type thing. It was so much. The trails were gorgeous. They were hard. Like, this course made Afton look easy. And Afton's no fucking joke. Superior is insane. I loved it. It was so cool. There was one girl at one point, she was panicking. I haven't seen a blazer in a little bit. I haven't seen a flag. Are we on the right path? I'm saying, we have to be. I said, you know what? I have the map on my Garmin. Let's check it out. So I checked it out, and we're like, yeah, we're good. And we end up coming across a blue blazer, you know, pretty damn close. I think it's called a blaze. And she goes, you know what? I'm going to let you pass me. I need to figure my shit out. She's like, I knew I wanted a little bit of candy on this run. I didn't know I grabbed so much, and she showed me. She just had both her hands full of candy. So this is why it probably took me elsewhere. There's a bunch of road work going on. That's all right. We're chilling. I don't know what else to say. It was beautiful sights, great people. I had a lot of fun. I ended up finishing in 6 hours and 46 minutes, which the race predictor, based upon other races I've done, had me finishing in 7 hours and 43 minutes. The lady at Afton, she said it'd take me an hour and a half longer than Afton. So that would put me at 7:35. And I ended up finishing in 6:46. I finished 87th out of 339 people. The average time was 7 hours and 52 minutes. So I was an hour quicker than that. I'm very, very happy with my performance. I'm very happy with my training. This past week has been kind of heal up, do light work. I went for my first run yesterday. I did some biking indoors. I've been going for some walks. That first day still, the walks were a little rough. But man, I genuinely think I will be back for that race. That might be my yearly season concluder, because there's not much going on in the fall. And that race is just so gorgeous. And I wasn't going to get into this, but you know what? We're going to get into this. There is some drama going on in the ultra scene right now. So Ironman is a triathlon organization, obviously. Well, Ironman actually ended up purchasing one of the running places, one of the events. It's called UTMB. So they have the Tour de Mont Blanc, and they have a whole bunch of race series throughout the year. They ended up purchasing them. And what has happened is they're trying to commercialize the sport. And what has happened that I think needs some awareness to is, you know, I need the heat on just a little more. It's a little chilly out. The UTMB did some shady shit. They paid out this resort so that this local guy couldn't have his race. And they just came out yesterday and released that UTMB will be hosting basically the same fucking race. They basically knocked a local race director out of a race he spent time developing, a race that he's been running. And basically there's a lot of drama right now. Like, actually fuck UTMB for doing that, which would be Ironman organization. Like, you knock a local director out of his race when he made it, and then not even like just say, hey, we don't want that happening, to host the exact same fucking race, that seems bullshit to me. So the guy that made that race has actually came out and said, we plan on making a race the same exact weekend because fuck you, basically. Basically my main point here is this race was put on by a local race director who runs a couple other races, and more than happy to support him. Like, he ran this race so fucking well. I know something they struggle with is to get volunteers up there, and I think at the very least, if I'm injured next year, volunteer. I would like to get out and volunteer for a race next year, if not before this year ends, because I've now done 3 races. There's been volunteers at every single one. I feel I owe it back to the community to put in a little effort, hand out some cookies, fill up some water bottles, fill up some pickle juice, that kind of thing. Maybe I'll get out there and do kind of a local volunteer effort here soon. Long story short, ladies and gentlemen, the race was fucking awesome. I'm very, very happy with it. I don't know what's next. Right now, I'm obviously just out exploring the world. I'm trying to hit some new parks, just kind of get some base going on, a base mileage thing type going on. But you guys won't hear about my training or my adventures until I know what the next big adventure is. I've had a great week off work. I've got to spend time with, you know, I try to hit certain marks. Like, you know, I don't normally get to do this, 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 and this because I'm working during these hours. So to be on other people's schedule for a week and like, hey, let's do this, hey, let's do this, it's been great. I'm super grateful that people are hitting me up, and I've had such a great week off. It's been fantastic. I had chicken wild rice soup. So when you finish the race, they hand you this finisher cup, and it has chicken wild rice soup in it. It was so fucking delicious. I look forward to that next year. I really do. Anyways, guys, Twitter, @ThoughtsByRandy, Venmo, PayPal, link in description below. I hope you guys enjoyed this race recap. It's been a great time passer while I'm on my way up to the Wild River State Park, and then I might stop at International State Park as well, which would be Taylor Falls. That's the more popular one on the Wisconsin side. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope I see you guys back next week. If I don't, I hope you have a wonderful life. Peace.